swing and a belt. Well, Beal, way back. Blue Jays win it.
Oh, God. Down the sideline. Wow. Touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Trying to finish it.
It's over.
Here's a chance. That call. Shot rebound. Score.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the start of a shortened work week, end of Thanksgiving. The Ready to Explode, Maddie Lang, is joining us tonight after apparently three turkey dinners. I can't even fucking imagine. What's happening, man?
Three turkey dinners, 12 pounds heavier.
Yes.
I'm well on my way to making weight for the next heavyweight fight right now.
Well, it sounds like you did a bit of a tour this time, but any Lang family traditions, anything, you know, that you know, maybe your mom bakes better than anything else, something like that, that you look forward to Thanksgiving for?
You know what? I usually look forward to one of my aunts making cheesecake.
Okay.
And this year we got store-bought cheesecake.
Oh,
so
no.
Everybody just mailing it in this year. Just fucking throwing it in.
We did our dinner, as I mentioned to you off air, on the Saturday night, which was, you know, kind of cool. We spent the long weekend up at the cottage, so we got to it early, but it meant there was way too much time left in the weekend for any leftovers to survive and make it home with us afterwards. You're just puttering away at it for the rest of the weekend, right? We had turkey sandwiches, all kinds of stuff. So this is like the first year I can remember that I haven't been able to grab a plate or two to bring home with me. It was just all gone by the time we got out of there. So
see, that's too bad, because you want the turkey sandwich on the toast, a little bit of mayo, maybe some mustard on there.
Yeah.
You know, that's got to be the Tuesday through Wednesday meal at work.
We didn't get,
you know, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Really, man? After three dinners, you got room for more, do you?
Listen, I only get turkey like three times a year.
Yeah, no, it's true.
I'm gonna enjoy that turkey whenever I can get it.
The other thing I noticed, and we're going to get to a little bit of NBA talk, and I want to actually ask you about something about the Jays here in a few minutes, but over the weekend, I did take notice that for people who missed it, last week on Tall Can Sports, you and I talked about the Pittsburgh Penguins. Whether or not they were going to be able to get through this Malkin injury, because their depth had been tested a little bit, whether Sid was going to be able to pull this by himself. They scored 14 goals over the weekend in two games, putting up seven spots on, I know last night was Winnipeg. No problem scoring goals, man. I hate when we do these sorts of topics and then I immediately get punched in the face by reality right afterwards. Just made to look fucking stupid, man.
If you could go on maybe this week talking about how bad the Leafs are and how we need to trade most of the team, that'd be great, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, I'll get on the Pats too. Although I did see people speculating that maybe now, and I know you've referenced this maybe once or twice before, just how bad their division is, but that the Patriots may have as good a chance this year to go perfect, you know, throughout the entire season as they have maybe since that run. I know it was ended by the Giants at the Super Bowl there back in 2007, I think it was. But
yeah, man, speaking of things we're not thankful for.
Yeah, no, exactly. I don't know. I didn't keep much of an eye on the NFL this weekend, I'll be honest with you, but they're continuing to roll, it seems.
Well, you know, it was the one game I actually caught, because they had the Thursday nighter, which I really appreciated. The NFL giving everybody here in Pats Nation North a good little break for us. So, man, we talked about this a little bit the other day, and actually, as we talked about that, it was the Giants they played this past week,
right?
And they routed them. we referenced this one of the other shows we've done recently. The rest of the league is just up in flux.
Yeah,
you know, we've got the Buffalo Bills, who are a playoff team right now. We've got who was I just thinking of there? Los Angeles Rams. Mm-hmm. They're getting their asses handed to them. I think they're 500 right now.
Right.
They got beat this weekend by the 5-0 San Francisco Giants. So, I mean, a team that was a lot laughing stock last year.
Yeah, just like we all saw coming. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And Kansas City lost, I think, their second in a row this week, who was everybody's favorite this year to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The Superb Owl, depending on how you read that.
Yeah, of course.
And how drunk you are after Canadian Thanksgiving. So, I mean, it sucks to be a better, and it sucks to try to make a couple dollars on the side. But
yeah,
if you are a fan of the NFL, this is the first year in it feels like a decade where literally it feels like anybody could win.
I know you wouldn't want to jinx it or anything, but could you see it? Have you looked that far ahead on New England's schedule? Is there, you know, with the, I know they got some of the really bad games out of the way early.
Yeah.
But do you think they could run the table this year?
Yeah, I'll tell you, there was three games I was specifically looking forward to. The Browns, the Cowboys, and the Chiefs.
Right.
The Chiefs are the only ones who look like legitimate threats at this point in the season.
Yeah, it's true, man.
So, I mean, it's incredibly hard to run the table. They could do it, and I don't think it's because their team is as strong as we think it is. I think it's just everybody else really sucks or is mediocre at best.
Right. Well, that'll be something interesting to keep an eye on. I think it's the defense that, you know, has surprised me anyway out of New England. They always have these threats offensively or whatever, but it's the D that's been standing up. Speaking of, though, of high-powered offenses.
Before we move away from that.
Okay.
Did you see the tweet from the Pope himself?
I did.
The Pontifex.
Unbelievable.
The leader of the Catholic world. Misusing a hashtag. And throwing support behind the New Orleans Saints hours before the game on Sunday. That was maybe the NFL highlight of the week for me.
You think he's got to have a sense of humor about it. You wonder if anyone's filled him in or you know, what he might have done here. But it truly hysterical. Check us out at Talkin' Audio on Twitter. Maddie is at Matthew Lang on Twitter. I'll make sure it's retweeted there if you haven't seen it because it was fucking fantastic. I had the great segue on the last one. You cut me, and now I'm just stumbling.
Now you're just stumbling around. Let me take that opportunity then.
Okay.
What are you drinking tonight?
Okay, I am taking it a little easy because it, you know, coming up, it's the end of a long weekend. I'm a little bit sore, a little tired, but I did. I've still got the keg here from Vimy. They were back in a week or two ago to drop off a new one of the stout. So that's what I'm pulling off. Here tonight. We'll get a little more experimental here over the next couple weeks. Again, I have pulled down a couple of new ones in the studio that we'll get to, but we're not being too experimental here. How about yourself?
I am a complete 180 for you or from you right now. I'm drinking the old school, the old reliable Pabst Blue Ribbon tonight.
Oh my God. I don't know what to say about that, man. That is like my go-to ghetto beer. I don't know what it is. Like,
sometimes you just want an easy drink and brew.
It's true, man. No, I can't judge too much. So as always, you can find the beers that we're drinking at Talkin' Audio on Instagram. We'll throw them up there, but these will be pretty recognizable to everybody, I think. Maddie as well on Instagram with his sports physio blog, sports injury blog. It's at Matt Does Physio on Instagram. As we sit here and record this, this is the four-year anniversary of the bat flip. And, of course, Game 5, seventh inning, Toronto Blue Jays, Texas Rangers, Jose Bautista. Am I mistaken, or were you not at that game?
I was there. I was up in the 500 levels in right field.
So that's what I thought. And I did sit when I got home today from the cottage. I was searching around just for a couple of highlights of it, and instead I found somebody on YouTube who put the entire game up. I did not watch all of it, but I did watch that entire seventh inning again and then watched it through to the finish from there. Man, I've been to some cool sporting events. I know you have as well. I don't know if I've ever seen anything quite that intense, right? And I wanted to ask you about it because I think we've talked about the bat flip before, but you were in the building, man. That crowd, after the error from Russell Martin in the top of the seventh to the complete 180 in the bottom of the seventh, have you ever felt anything like that in terms of a crowd energy at a sporting event?
Up until this past spring, I would have said no.
Okay.
The only thing that comes close and had the exact same energy in the building was the shot by Kawhi.
Sure, okay, yeah.
In round two, game seven, you know, 0.4 seconds left, and he throws up the ball that bounces four times off the rim and in to win everything. That had a slightly different feel just because, you know, it's a smaller contained arena. It's 18,000 people.
Sure.
We're talking about 50,000 people in Skydome.
that were so angry just a short time ago, right? And it swings so fast.
You know, there was the errors that were happening in that inning. What I think I can look back on now with the Jose moment is that was such a fuck you moment.
Yeah.
It was a fuck you to the umps. It was a fuck you to Texas. It was a fuck you to the fact that they kept giving us the 2 p.m. playoff games.
On just, you know, that general, that
nobody wants to come to Toronto.
That's a great point, right? That little brother Toronto thing that we have going on. Big players don't want to come here. We can never match up with the Yankees and Red Sox. The American TV doesn't cover the team. All of that. And in one swing of the bat, go fuck yourself, right?
Yeah. Like, and it came from a guy who always had a little swagger.
Oh, yeah.
Who always repped the city. Who, you know, is a cultural icon here now, still to this moment.
Yeah.
And as great as I think the Kawhi moment is today and this year, and it's probably going to be the sport moment of the year on every countdown, at least north of the border.
Yeah.
I think Kawhi leaving and only being here for a year, if we look at this 5 years from now, that will mean less than the bat flip.
It's going to hurt it a little. It will hurt it a little. Now,
right?
Jose did hang around too long. His finish here wasn't ideal. But the thing that I noticed as I was watching, and I'd forgotten about some of these names, right? We had Ben Revere playing left field, the speedster, bat and lead off, all this stuff. We had brought in David Price. Tulo had been around. And even though Jose wasn't drafted by Toronto, we brought him in. He was part of our core for a lot longer, right? Yeah. And I had sort of forgotten that feeling that I had during the game, that this was fun and that, you know, but what we were watching wasn't a lot of long-time Blue Jays, right? R.A. Dickey was on that team, hadn't been around a long time. Mark Burley was on that team. You know, just guys like that. But Ryan Goins is a guy making huge plays at second base defensively. And but Russell Martin is another guy that's just kind of brought in as a mercenary. And there was a lot of pieces in that game that, while it made it fun to watch and they did sort of get embraced by Blue Jays fans, the fact that it was Jose that did it and everything that you just described about that fuck you feeling about it, that no, this was our guy. He didn't turn into anything until he got here. He's been here doing it. No one's paying attention to him. And bang, there it goes, right? Like,
yeah, you know, and the very next year having Edwin do the same thing to Baltimore.
Yep.
That right? So I mean, sweet. Those are the two guys that came to the Jays as mediocre, moderate prospects.
Yeah.
Jose, maybe not even that.
Right.
You know, Edwin had been
E5.
E5. didn't he end up in Oakland for about a quarter of a week and back into Toronto at one point through the waivers?
Yeah, that's true.
And then finally put it together. These were guys who were part of some really bad Blue Jay teams. Really, really bad Blue Jay teams. And I think it'll always mean more. And, you mean, obviously the Raptors went on to win everything. The Jays didn't get past the championship round, but even the shot that Kawhi hits, right? That's in the, you know, the Eastern semifinal.
Yep.
There was one shot at the end of game five, you know, Raptors are down by 1 or 2 points. I can't remember quite clearly anymore, but you know, the ball goes to Kyle in the corner and he takes a three. If Draymond doesn't get his finger on it and that goes in to win the championship.
Right.
That would, you know, in my mind, that supersedes this because then that's for the championship.
And again, a long-term guy. Yeah. A long-time Raptor. Yeah.
I think if you ask me, you know, that Edwin home run in extra innings against Baltimore, the bat flip with Jose the year before, Kawhi this past spring, because they were all so early in the playoffs.
Yep.
They don't have the same cachet that, let's say, a Joe Carter home run to win the World Series does, right? But man, for my money, I mean, I remember leaving that game and, you know, talking to family on the phone that day, the next day, seeing family in the weeks to come. And I was always saying, you know, this might be the best moment of my life. It's going to be really hard for something to supersede the emotion as a fan. Guys like you and me who have been fans, you know, essentially since we could walk.
Of course, yeah.
And we knew what was going on. We've been fans of the Blue Jays.
Right.
To go through those good years and then the bad years. The empty stadium that, you know, the Sky Dome, that and how it got decrepit for years before they renovated it. Watching that team come back up and having to deal with, you know, sneaking out of work and playing games on your laptop because it's a 2 p.m. game. And there was something very much about a cultural renaissance in Toronto happening as well at that time, right? It kind of interceded with the hip-hop culture in Toronto coming yep. alive, clothing culture coming alive in Toronto. And I think it all just happened at that same moment. And that bat flip meant so much to so many people. And his attitude towards it and how he always embraced Toronto. I mean, Kawhi was always pleasant about Toronto. Sure. But Toronto was really home for Jose.
And I've pulled up a tweet here because I was trying to remember. But, you know, kind of comparing those three big Blue Jays moments. And it says here, Joe Carter's World Series home run was like winning the lottery. Roberto Alomar's ALCS home run was like getting a promotion ahead of the guy that you hate or the coworker that you hate. Jose Bautista's was like saving your family from a burning house and then kicking the shit out of the guy who started the fire.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a, you know, very eloquently put.
Sheer emotion of it, man. And as I'm watching it back, you forget, you know, all the fucking beer cans being thrown and just how angry that crowd was and how there was all kinds of extra security and cops out now around the outside and in the bullpens. And, you know, it got angry in a hurry and then it just turned into this. And you kind of forget the stuff that happened afterwards, right? Edwin comes out and tries to stop the crowd from throwing shit after Jose's home run. Sam Dyson gets pissed at him, thinking he's trying to amp the crowd up. At the end of the inning, Dyson comes down and tries to give Tulo a tap, like, okay, we're good here, it's over. And Tulo turns like, fuck you, don't touch me, we're still at war here, right? Like, yeah. It was so tense on the field, in the stands. And I just, it kind of crossed my mind as I was watching it that I think, I'm pretty sure Maddie was in the fucking building for this Skong show.
You know, and one of the, as we were kind of reliving this, one of the great moments for me was actually leaving the stadium. And for those of you who haven't been to the Sky Dome at any point in your life,
you weren't asked to leave by security, were you?
No, I wasn't. Thankfully, I was not. I was not throwing stuff from the 500s at right. all. For those of you who haven't been there, if you were up in the upper deck, it is a long walk.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's ramp walking, right? So you're just walking up and down ramps. The entire walk out of that stadium, the only thing you could hear was Jose chant.
Yes.
And the crowd in unison, and you got out into the street outside, you know, you kind of filter out there towards Bremner on the south side and Jose chants. And then you walk your way up around and you get back up to Front Street and there's still Jose chants. And I've just never seen anything like it until the Raptors actually won the championship.
Yeah.
Year.
Yeah.
And even that, there was cheering, there was celebration, there was, let's go Raptors. But to have that like Jose, Jose, Jose chant.
Yeah.
Was just something very special that I'll never forget that.
Yeah. It's a fun anniversary and we've talked about it a few times on this show, but cool to look back and there's all kinds of stuff. If you want to relive it, if you're having a hard time firing up your work week there after a long weekend, too much turkey still sitting around, the inning itself is on YouTube. The whole game is on YouTube. Highlights are on. Go back and take a look. The roar of the crowd after that Bautista home run is something that I don't know if I've ever heard carry through a TV quite the way this did. It's just this explosion.
Yeah. And you know, Matt, I know we've mentioned this before in the past too, but having been there at the game, I didn't even know there was a bat flip.
No, I'm sure you're not still looking at him. You're following the ball out. And yeah, like
I couldn't believe the pop off the bat.
You know what I wanted to ask?
Following the ball.
Yeah. Was as they're going through the Russell Martin situation in the top of the inning, and he goes to throw it back to Sanchez, who's on in relief at this time, and it hits Shin Soo Choo's bat, and Odor comes in to score, and it takes the crowd a long time to figure out what's happened, and now they're starting to get pissed because the ump signals that run's going to count. It was a live ball. How much of that? How quickly does that spread through the crowd? Do you understand what's happened? Did you even see it hit the bat? Are they showing replays up on the Jumbotron? Because you'd think that's just egging the crowd on. Like, how long does it take for everybody to figure out what's going on here?
We had, as you mentioned, it's the seventh inning. So everybody knows you have to get your last beer by the seventh inning.
Yeah.
So we had run out to grab beers for ourselves and our friends.
Yeah.
We got back just in time to see this all unfold. It was at least, I want to say it was like a 15-minute delay.
It was an 18-minute delay. You're right, man.
Yeah, pretty close, right?
Pretty good.
Enough to that we looked at each other and said, well, we might as well go back and get more beers. And we're back before everything unfolded.
Must have been a lot of people in that line with all the cans that had flown down to the fucking turf at that point, man. A lot of people needing refills.
Well, they were throwing them. We were out buying new ones.
Yeah, so yeah.
That was the key. There was no lines the second time around. And you've hit it on the head here. The biggest thing was we didn't know what the heck was happening.
Right.
Right? Because from the 500 level specifically, you're on the other side of the stadium. You can't tell if that hits the bat or the bat or what happens if he's impeding his throwing. You just can't see that stuff. The ump's signaling home. You see the Jays arguing. They're not telling us anything. They're doing the review on TV.
Right.
They're doing the review on their little headsets. They're not showing any reviews up on the Jumbotron.
Because the crowd will just fucking lose it.
But it's not like football and hockey where they come on and they're mic'd up and they explain what's happening on big calls. They just go right back to playing and everybody lost their shit.
Yeah.
Like, why are we down now? What happened?
Right.
What's going on? So I think that was something, I don't think they've addressed that, but that was one of the biggest issues was there was no communication with 50,000 angry fans.
Well, and that continues to be a problem.
To let anybody know what's happening.
For a lot of these sports, man, I can sit at home with my beautiful 60-inch HD TV where the beers don't cost $12 a pop, and I'm getting all the replays, and it's making it harder and harder to get people to go to games if you're not going to tell them what's up and you're not going to show
replays. Are you getting a discount out there or what?
Fuck, I know.
Buddy, what stadium are you watching games at?
Well, that's a nice little segue into the next thing I wanted to talk about, and that is that the Toronto Raptors are getting ready to start a season in which they're defending NBA champions, and I have no idea what stadiums they've been playing games at. To me, this whole thing has felt very muted by the fact that, despite the fact that you're NBA champs, you're off to Quebec City for part of camp, and then they're sending you to Asia or wherever the hell else things are going on. We've talked before about my feelings on the Blue Jays having to go to Montreal every year to play a couple of exhibition games. I don't love it. I don't love the Leafs going to Newfoundland. I don't like the Raptors going to Vancouver or wherever the hell else they've been over the years. I'm kind of over this national brand thing. Let your teams get in and get set up at home. And I think this year, especially with the hype that should be surrounding this team, even with Kawhi gone, you built so much momentum last spring, and you should be trying hard to kind of welcome in this fan base that you've built and keep as much of it as you can. And I know the league has a say in this as much as the team, but the fact that the Raptors haven't been around Toronto save for one sad little Saturday morning media day, it's to me, this has been an opportunity blown, man.
Oh, I mean, this is a tough one, right? Because if you're going to market yourself as Canada's team, I think this is their one opportunity to show fans in other places some love. I think the basketball translates a little bit better than, let's say, the Jays, because the Jays have to play in Montreal,
right?
On cement,
yes,
in an antique stadium. Where at least if you're playing basketball, a basketball court is a basketball court every single time, right?
Sure.
It's the same specifications. You're not worrying about the floor. It's hardwood, and we can at least there's some consistency there. Interesting this year that it was mostly held in Quebec. I'm not sure what the arrangement there was. I thought it was kind of cool that they were invited to be part of the convoy or envoy to Asia this year and play a couple games in Tokyo. To me, that's a very brand decision, right? You're learning to expand your brand. Mm-hmm. And what we learned from the NBA Finals this year is the Raptors really became an international brand because of so many international players.
True.
And getting into that Asian market is a huge thing for the NBA and the individual teams, right? I mean,
as long as you behave on Twitter.
We'll skip over that one because neither of us are smart enough to talk about it properly. But yeah, don't challenge communist countries. That's a lesson everybody should take heed of, let's say.
Yeah.
Now, I agree with you.
The timing just sucks. That's all.
Listen, how many days out? 12 days out from the start of the regular season?
Yeah.
No, not even. We are 8 days away.
Oh, man.
From the banner going up on Tuesday the 22nd, which your boy will be at.
Attaboy, yeah.
I would not be missing that for anything. Even if I had a child coming, he'd have to wait. I'd be at the Raptor game. Apologies to my unborn son, as always.
I think we can all relate. We get it. You've earned that night.
Right. I mean, we put in blood, sweat, and tears into this, right?
Right.
So, this one's going to be as much about the fans as anything else.
The only other bodily fluid that didn't go into that went into making the kids, so.
That's right. Exactly. where was my train of thought on that one now?
Yeah, sorry, man.
I was going to say, you know, it has felt like the season's still far away because they haven't been around, and they did play their first true preseason home game yesterday on Sunday evening.
Yeah.
It wasn't well attended. Most of the regular players did not play. You know, I guess when you're NBA champs, you don't have to try very hard during the preseason anymore.
Sure.
Which I can totally understand. I mean, it's probably more just them playing, you know, they probably have to come to Scotiabank to play something before they start the season.
Yeah.
I think we'll start to see, you know, maybe Thursday night, the whole Raptor hype train really ramp up and get everybody excited for this. It's mostly the same team coming back, minus Kawhi. Obviously, that's a large part.
Yep.
Raptor fans should be really excited. We talked about betting with the NFL earlier. If you want to make some money, throw some cash on the Raptors to do a little bit of damage this year. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind they're being completely undervalued by just about everybody. They're not even rated as a top 10 team.
Well, so this is I wanted to get here, right? Like, are they, this is still a playoff team in the East for sure, but
as long as you don't ask ESPN.
Well,
yes.
can they push for home court? Are they kind of 4 through 6? Are they kind of 5 through 8? What should we expect out of this group?
I think in the East, you're looking at Philly and Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And then it's pretty wide open. You know, the Pacers are going to be without their star player, Victor Oladipo, until at least Christmas time. Boston, I don't think Boston's really any better than Toronto. Brooklyn's getting a lot of hype with Kyrie Irving.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I mean, they also, you know, they got rid of their point guard to bring another point guard in who's maybe marginally better. And I think everybody's forgetting that Kevin Durant's not playing until the end of the year at earliest. And he should really be out the entire year. So if you're asking me where the Raptors are finishing, I think it's safe to say somewhere in the 3 to 5 range. I don't think they're going to be on the bottom. You know, they're going to be any lower than 5th.
Right.
I think they're far too talented of a team to be any lower, barring injuries that we all can't kind of control for. But you're still rolling a pretty solid team out. You know, we're all expecting our boy Spicy P to keep improving, right? And early preseason games looked just to, you know, prove that even more. You've got guys like OG Anunoby and Norm Powell who have come out really strong, and people are going to be looking at them as most improved player candidates this year. In particular, Norm Powell. So I think everybody's expecting OG to make that next step as a former first-round draft pick and a guy who probably should have been drafted a lot higher had he not blown his knee out.
Well, and people forget about him, right? Missed that entire playoff run with the appendix, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
The dreaded appendix injury.
Out of everything that'll put you out, that's the one that'll actually kill you. So that one's actually fairly serious, right?
Yeah.
Who was that? Oh, and Norm Powell. He went to the Kobe camp this summer and has just been shooting lights out. I don't know what they changed about his follow through and his mechanics, but he looks great all of a sudden. They added another 6'5" guard, Matt Thomas, from he's American, but he was playing in Spain.
Okay.
In the pro leagues there. he has the highest catch and shoot three percentage next to Klay Thompson on the planet. So this is a guy that could come in, just shoot those corner threes. He's going to be able to make up some ground, keep us close in certain games, or really help us maybe blow some teams out. You're still rolling back Ibaka. We're still rolling back Marcus Gasol. We're still rolling back our boy Kyle, right? And they've done a really good job. They brought in Stanley Johnson and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, two really lengthy guys, both 6'7", just shut down defenders. So do I, you know, there was a point there early in the season last year where the Raptors were putting up 120 points consistently.
Yes.
Don't expect that. But what we're going to get is a lot more tight games. A lot of times we're going to be holding teams to under 100 points fairly commonly. I don't think that's going to be a surprise to anybody. But right now, I think, as far as the big networks are concerned, they've forgotten about Toronto all over again.
With Kawhi gone, there's a lot of big shots that are suddenly open. Who do you see, will they significantly change the way they run their offense? Who do you think is going to be the guy they'll be most often looking to have the ball in those final seconds? Obviously, when you slice Kawhi out, there needs to be changes, but just sort of what do you expect to see, new this year?
News is an interesting question. I think those big shot moments are going to be Siakam or Lowry.
Right.
Lowry's used to take them anyways. I think we're really going to see a lot of Pascal and a lot of ball movement between him and Marc Gasol. I think that's going to be how the game finishes. You're going to have Marc Gasol, you're going to have Pascal, you're going to have Kyle, and then you're going to try to figure out who those other two players are, who gives you the best options.
Yeah.
I think we're all hoping it's OG and Anobi.
Yeah.
And if it turns out to be a guy like Rondae Hollis-Jefferson who can just be lengthy and provide another option, whether it's Norm Powell, if it's Norm Powell, that's a pretty tiny lineup that I just drew up for us.
For sure.
So maybe not him at the end of the game, but there's some options, right? This team's looking more like a switchblade than it did with the big cannon that we had last.
Sure.
So, that... maybe looking more like your traditional Raptors team where you're going to finish with a pretty good regular season record, but not sure how they're going to do come playoff time when you really have to rely on that superstar.
I think, as we get a little closer, maybe we'll try and do a more sort of general look at the NBA. But I want to ask you specifically, as we move away from the Raptors a little bit, what have you been hearing as camp has moved on and as the summer has developed? About the number one pick last year, Zion Williamson. How's he looked at camp so far? Is he ready to take the league by storm? Who would you kind of compare him to in terms of hype coming in and what type of impact we should be ready for this kid to have?
He is the LeBron hype.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
He's the LeBron hype and they're that's it. I heard one person on the radio talking about him just this weekend. And he was saying how, he first saw him on, one of those YouTube channels. And he was like, look at this guy. He looks like a man playing with boys in prep school.
Right.
Then he saw them in high school. And he went, wow, look at him playing with these boys. Let's see what he does in college. Then he went to Duke. And he said, I still looked around and saw him running through these guys thinking, yeah, but let's see what he does in the NBA.
Right.
And after our first few looks at him, he's like, well, now I'm just realizing there needs to be a separate league for a guy like this. I think he's coming completely as sold. He always worried me when I was watching him in college last year because I wasn't sure how he was going to look against other, as this commentator was saying, against other men.
Right.
It's one thing when you're the biggest bully in the yard. How does it change when you're looking at other guys just like you, but how does it feel when you get hit in the jaw the first time?
Yeah.
Do you get back up? Are you okay to start working on your game again? Can you make changes? My one concern with Zion is his build. He's a big, thick body. I'm really interested to see how his fitness changes over the next couple of years. Does he shed some of those pounds? We've seen guys in the past like LeBron drop weight as he's gotten older, right? To take it easier on his body. reduce the strain of carrying that big frame around. It's going to be really interesting to see how he holds up. I mean, this is a guy who literally blew a shoe out by pivoting.
Yeah, I saw
on
that.
The floor last
we
year.
All got a look at that. That was unbelievable, man. Just blew it apart.
Just blew it right in two. So he's a big, dynamic, fast. He moves in a way that his body shouldn't move. He's explosive in a way his body shouldn't be explosive. Again, how is he going to respond to an 82-game schedule? That's what we're going to have to figure out this year. In a one game playing in preseason, the guy looks lights out. I'd be very surprised if this guy didn't end up being rookie of the year one way or the other, especially coming in with the hype train that he's got going for him. He's a Jordan athlete. He's going to have tons of hype behind him everywhere he goes. The Raptors, unfortunately, are going to get to see him on night one where
opening
he's
night.
Nice and rested. And that's a scary Pelican team, considering they just had to trade their cornerstone piece in Anthony Davis. It's a team that looked very, very scary now. And again, the funny thing is they might only be an eighth place team in the West. You know, if they're in the East, God, they might be a top three team, you know, no questions asked. I mean, obviously a lot of question marks on there. Lonzo Ball ends up there in the trade. Mm-hmm. Josh Hart ends up there in the trade. They've got a great point guard in Drew Holiday. One of these guys that if he was playing on any other team in a bigger market, he would be a much bigger star. They went and got J.J. Redick, who just is an ageless wonder and has this is 13th year in the league, if I'm not mistaken. He's almost as old as you, Matt, for crying out loud.
Fuck. cheap shot at this point at the end of a long weekend.
I know, right?
Jeez.
I mean, being too nice. And then the one guy that, you know, for anybody who really is a basketball fan out there, Nickeil Alexander-Walker. He's a point guard for your New Orleans Pelicans. Canadian kid.
Okay.
So somebody to look out for there. If I'm not mistaken, he's related to SGA, who got moved to OKC in that trade for Paul George, who... I was a big fan of him back in college, and he had a really good rookie season in OKC, a very shitty team, but he's going to have an opportunity to really shine and really show what he's doing. So two cousins out on the Western Conference there that, you know, late game, so you might have to check your box score in the morning, but
right.
two guys to keep an eye on anyways as the season progresses.
Well, that'll be interesting, and as Matty referenced, it is Zion Williamson and the Pelicans that the Raptors will see on opening night as they raise their banner to the rafters. Matty will be there shucking all of his life responsibilities for the evening to make sure he gets to see it. Like I said, as the season kind of fires up around the NBA, we'll try and do this again and maybe get more of a kind of league-wide look. But I did want to make sure, that we got in and checked on the Raptors a little bit before things get fired up here. Because it's coming up quick. Like you said, I was convinced it was still 10 or 12 days away. Apparently, he's just 8 now. So it's on top of us. And like I said, I think that just goes towards, you know, you kind of mentioned that the Raptors are out there now. They're an international brand. They're expanding things. And, you know, we kind of talked about with the Blue Jays, right? No respect. Never get mentioned. Never on American TV. And in the same conversation, here I am complaining that the Raptors are now being used to hype up the league and to travel to these big things. And so maybe I'm just one of those sports fans who's never quite happy. Anything coming up on the sports injury blog at Matt Does Physio on Instagram this week?
You know, I've been, because of Canadian Thanksgiving, I paid almost no attention to the football games. So I'm going to have to dig in if I had to be perfectly honest on that. But there's a couple small injuries on the NBA front. But I think as the season's getting started up early next week, I think towards the end of this week, can look for some maybe reviews or kind of where are they now in their rehab stuff that I think I'm going to start putting together for NBA teams.
That will be at Matt Does Physio on Instagram. If you're in the Toronto area, make sure you check out Foundation Physiotherapy for all your physiotherapy needs. Matty, as always, appreciate you doing this. I know it's been a long weekend of quaffing back the birds, and I appreciate you're able to stay awake.
Anytime, buddy. It's always a pleasure.
Matty Lang is on Twitter as well, at Matthew Lang. We are on Twitter and Instagram at Tall Can Audio, and that's where we'll wrap this one up for the start of another short week. Another short work week. Let's get the hell out of here. This is a mess. That's Tall Can Sports, and we'll see you.
We're not going to be fucking sucked this year.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.